Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this session. I have sadly nothing to disclose financially. So we would like to talk to you a little bit about what is ASTO and the how we've worked with states to develop partnerships to really support collaborative work within their states and how those collaborations can really enhance breastfeeding services at the state level. So ASTO represents the state, District of Columbia, and territory and freely associated state public health agencies and the over 100,000 employees within each of those, which within all of those agencies across the United States. And our members are the chief health official in each of those jurisdictions. And so they work across all areas from maternal and child health to immunizations, infectious disease, preparedness, and all sorts of areas. So what we're trying to do is elevate breastfeeding in front of their eyes to see how important it is to really enhance health within their jurisdictions to really help the health of mothers and families in their areas. So what we started in 2014 was ASTO started this project to really focus on improving breastfeeding rates around the country using a learning collaborative model. And in year one of the project, so 2014 to 2015, we funded 17 states, the district and the District of Columbia, to really work on breastfeeding in three important areas. And those are increasing practices supportive of breastfeeding and birthing facilities, improving access to professional and peer support for breastfeeding, and ensuring workplace compliance with the federal lactation accommodation law. And on September 10th of 2015, we launched our year two of the project and welcomed an additional state, so that makes 18 states and DC. And over the next year, what we're going to be doing with those states is convene in four virtually structured learning sessions and over a 9-month period add a few couple of other times to connect in between as well as some site visits to those states. And in both years of the learning community, each of those states received $15,000 to work on a chosen one of those three strategies that I mentioned. And the lead agency there was most often the state health agency. However, many of those were working extremely closely with their state breastfeeding coalitions or task forces. And so there was a handful of states, five, that received an additional $15,000 for a total of 30. And what we did there was help them work together more exclusively with their breastfeeding coalition to really facilitate that action planning and collaboration in a more sustained level. And so we've also, with those five states, done some really targeted site visits so we can make sure that they're really working together well and engaging each other to the best of their abilities. So here are all the states that we are a part of our learning community, and this was funded by the CDC's Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity. And the goal of this was to support these states in DC that don't receive 1305 enhanced breastfeeding funding. So it was a way to make sure that these states are still actively engaging in breastfeeding work, even though they're not receiving that additional federal funding. And so the states in blue here are those that received the $30,000, and the states in pink, yeah, it is pink, okay, good, are receiving the base level of 15. And so what we really wanted to do here was show what states selected. And so for the most part, implementing practices supportive of breastfeeding and birthing facilities was by far the most popular with 12 states, and then the other two were about even at 4 and 3. And states are allowed to join sessions of other types so they can continue to learn. We encourage the states with the enhanced funding to choose a second activity area in year two, and so they're starting to choose those now. But for the most part, people are very excited about working with hospitals. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some lessons learned and themes that happened within this project so far, and obviously we'll continue to have these moving forward. But we really found that states wanted to test their policies, practices, and partnerships to really increase the likelihood of sustainability
now that they've started working even harder with many of these coalitions and other partners. And so, for an example, New Mexico has built relationships with their Chamber of Commerce in two counties to really enhance businesses' attention to workplace lactation support and to also support women's breastfeeding goals when they do return to work. And it's been pretty successful thus far, and we're continuing to follow them moving forward. So also, other states in the learning community had ongoing initiatives, and as a part of that, they're using this funding to really enhance the work that's already happening, which was the goal. We didn't want to make something that was an add-on. We wanted this to make sure it was enhancing things that were already doing well and working and moving forward so it could make them even more successful. And so a lot of states really did work with WIC as a real natural partner and to enhance the work that's already being done there. And then another area that we found was that guidance and leadership support was necessary to help move some action, and some good examples there were Louisiana identified mentor hospitals to mentor other hospitals that weren't doing as well to show that there was a way that they could improve. Ohio worked within the Hospital Association pretty closely to do something very similar. And Texas worked with the Texas Medical Association to help inspire that leadership across the providers within their states. And that really speaks to some of the really important public health leadership within the learning community and what they were trying to do on the ground. So governmental and non-governmental organizations that we worked with within the learning community at both the state and local levels within those state teams really wanted to create complementary goals to make sure that it would be sustainable over time. And so, for example, the Vermont Department of Health team aligned their breastfeeding goals across all divisions that touched breastfeeding. Oklahoma Coalition of Breastfeeding Advocates and the Oklahoma Department of Health collaborated to ensure consistency between their strategic plans to ensure that that would continue as well. And then there were some other successes as well that I'm not going to go into, but we've seen a lot of this really wanting to make sure that this funding, which will eventually run out, unfortunately, really wants to be sustainable and to set them up for to continue successes, even when there may not be funding in the future, and to really continue growing these relationships as much as possible now while there is funding to try to continue making these strides and making it sustainable over time. So what we've seen as successes in year one is that states were able to train a lot of professionals, develop materials, develop and implement practices and policies within their hospitals, work sites, and communities, and really change what's been happening in some of these venues. And so states were able to increase the number of breastfeeding-friendly facilities through their designation programs by 80% over the baseline. Obviously, there are not a lot of hospitals, so that sounds, it's not as many as you'd hope, but it is a significant increase in over a year, or just under a year. We had over 800 healthcare professionals trained on breastfeeding best practices, and almost 500 hospital-related professionals attended state breastfeeding summits to get a lot of that education. Some of the other successes we've seen as a hospital in Illinois increased their three-month breastfeeding rates from 19% to 43%, which is a huge increase in just a year with some of the training that was directly related to this funding. And Delaware was able to train 116 professionals in 10 practices on breastfeeding and have 12 more practices scheduled moving forward. We've also seen in Vermont that they've been able to increase the number of employers that provide space and time for nursing mothers by 136% from the beginning of the project, and they were able to recognize 47 employers as breastfeeding friendly in 2015, which was an increase of 161% over 2014. And in New Mexico, 63% of employers that they surveyed reported an improvement in employee morale based on evaluation metrics and an increase in productivity, and 25% also reported a reduction in healthcare costs relating to their business's support in lactation, and that's for both the mother and the infant. So we've been working very closely with all of the partners here, including engaging them on some of our webinars and on our future webinars. We had NACHO presented on one of our year one webinars about what their work they've been doing, and USDC was part of our kickoff call for this year, and so we look forward to continuing to engage them moving forward. This is our website. We encourage you to come and check it out. We have resources from each of the states, and you can click on that little map, and it'll bring you to state-specific resources as well as ASTA resources, too. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact any of the four of us that are on the bottom of that that slide, and please access any of our information that's there. And I want to say thank you. And if you're interested in more about the workplace compliance, I'll be presenting on Wednesday at 10:30, and I can give you more information about that as well. Thank you.